I share credit today with Samantha Harris and James Lindsay for their research and contributions, which I will merge with my own. Our enemies have found our Achilles heel, and they're steadily grinding on it. Not Russia or China or North Korea, but enemies inside our own country. Think about it. How do you destroy a powerful country in the quickest amount of time? You find an issue that will divide the people against themselves. You indoctrinate their children and preach hate disguised as enlightenment. You never let the constant drumbeat of racism fall silent. I truly believe that the greatest danger before us is the issue of race. We're destroying ourselves. Those who want to destroy America have seized upon this one issue above all others because it has been found to be effective. Most Americans don't truly understand the danger in identity politics, wokeism, and critical race theory. While all three are dangerous, I focus today on why critical race theory is dangerous and how we can fight it. As unlikely as it seems, a highly obscure academic theory known as critical race theory has completely mainstreamed in our society. A little familiarity with the basic principles of critical race theory will help you along the way to understand it. Understand also that what critical race theory advocates mean by racism is not even what most people think about racism. It is not prejudice based upon race or believing some races to be superior or inferior to others that they mean by racism. It is instead the system of everything that happens in the social world and beyond that results in any disparity that works in the favor of racially privileged groups or racially oppressed people claiming they experience racial oppression. These assumptions lead people who take up critical race theory to look for racism in everything until they find it. That is, after all, the job of a critical theorist or activist, to look for hidden problems that they assume must be present in whatever they scrutinize. In the workplace that adopts critical race theory, this means that it's only a matter of time until someone with that worldview finds out how your entire company and its culture is racist. At that point, they will cause a meltdown that forces everyone to take sides and demand a reorganization of the entire, now divided, office culture and management. In schools, it will mean teaching our children to think this way and always be looking for racism in every situation and interaction. In our personal relationships, it means that friends and even family members, especially our kids, who've already been educated with critical race theory ideas that they have been incorporated in our schools, will eventually call each other out and reject one another. Because tolerating racism is also considered a form of racism that would have to be discovered and stopped. The second feature, sometimes called interest convergence, or material determination, adds a further dimension. Because racism advances the interests of both white elites, materially, and working class people, physically, large segments of society have little incentive to eradicate it. Consider, for example, Derrick Bell's shocking proposal that Brown versus the Board of Education, considered a great triumph of civil rights litigation, may have resulted more from the self-interest of elite whites than a desire to help blacks. It is not hard to see how paranoid and cynical this idea is, but it's also horrible when you pause to consider some of its implications. Take the demand that comes from critical race theory, that everyone should be anti-racist. That sounds really good on the surface. but it's horrible underneath. If someone with racial privilege, including white, Asian, Hispanic, Arab, Indian, and lighter-skinned black people, decides to become anti-racist in accordance with this request, the interest convergence theses would say they only did it to make themselves look good, protect themselves against criticism, or to avoid confronting their own racism. This isn't a fringe idea or possible gap in the concept either. The academic literature on whiteness studies is filled with this notion, including book-length treatments by academic scholars. The interest convergence thesis makes it literally impossible for anyone with any racial privilege, again as outlined by critical race theory, to do anything right, because anything they do right must have also been in self-interest. If critical race theory makes a demand of people with any form of racial privilege and they comply, they just make themselves more complicit in racism, as critical race theory sees it. By giving people no way out, critical race theory becomes deeply manipulative and unable to satisfy its list of demands. Believe it or not, critical race theory is not a liberal idea. It is, in fact, critical of liberal societies and against the idea of freedom to its core. Critical race theory sees a free society as a way to structure and maintain inequities by convincing racial minorities not to want to do radical identity politics. Since critical race theory exists specifically to agitate for and enable radical racial identity politics, it is therefore against free societies and how they are organized. In this way, it is very different than the civil rights movement it incorrectly claims to continue. These movements, upon which critical race theory is based, initially advocated for a type of liberal humanism, individualism, freedom, and peace, but quickly turned to a rejection of liberal humanism. The idea of individual autonomy that underlies liberal humanism, that is, the idea that people are free to make the independent, rational decisions that determine their own fate, was viewed as a mechanism for keeping the marginalized in their place by obscuring larger structural systems of inequality. In other words, a free society fooled people into believing they had more freedom and choice than societal structures actually allow. In other words, critical race theory sees free societies and the ideas that make them work, like individualism, freedom, and peace, as a kind of tacit conspiracy theory that we all participate in to keep racial minorities down. When its advocates accuse people of being complicit in systems of racism, this is part of what they mean. Obviously, they would prefer that we do not have free societies and would rather arrange society as they see fit and make us all go along with their ideas. Critical race theory isn't just against free societies and the individualism that enables them, but it also doesn't even believe individuals meaningfully exist at all. In critical race theory, every person has to be understood in terms of the social groups they are said to inhabit, and these are determined by their identity, including race. A third theme of critical race theory, the social construction thesis, holds that race and races are products of social thought and relations, not objective, inherent, or fixed. They correspond to no biological or genetic reality. Rather, races are categories that society invents, manipulates, or retires when convenient. Under critical race theory, races are categories that society invents and that we impose entirely through social assumptions, mostly stereotypes, and people are members of those racial categories, whether they want to be one or not. Moreover, Moreover, they argue that society is socially stratified, which means that different social groups have differentiated access to the opportunities and resources of society. While that does bear some truth on average, it ignores individual variations that are obvious when considering examples of powerful, rich, and famous black people like Barack Hussein Obama, Oprah Winfrey, and Kanye West. Critical race theory forces people into these averages and considers them primarily in terms of their group identity rather than their individual identity. This is part of why they use the word folks instead of people. It designates a social group. Thus, in critical race theory, the goal of ideally treating every person as an individual who is equal before the law and meant to be judged upon the contents of their character and merits of their work is considered a myth that keeps racial minorities down. Instead, it sees people according to their racial groups only. This is why it is so common that progressive racial programs end up hurting the people they are supposed to help most. Racial justice in critical race theory means getting justice for the group, which it says is a social construction, not for the real person who is just a member of that group. Critical race theory is not particularly friendly to science, residing somewhere between generally disinterested in science and openly hostile to it. This is because critical race theory, using that social construction thesis, believes that the power and politics of cultural groups make their way intrinsically into everything that culture produces. Thus, science is just politics by other means to the racial race theory crowd. Since modern science was predominantly produced by white Western men, critical race theory, therefore, views science as a white and Western way of knowing. Critical race theory, therefore, maintains that science encodes and perpetuates white dominance, and thus isn't really fitting for black people who inhabit a culture of blackness. This is obviously a horrible sentiment, and it is one that goes against one of the very first pillars of science, universality. Universality in science says that it doesn't matter who does an experiment. The result will always be the same. This is because science believes in objectivity, which critical race theory also calls an oppressive myth. Critical race theorists have built on everyday experiences with perspective, viewpoint, and the power of stories and persuasion to come to a better understanding of how Americans see race. They have written parables, autobiography, and counterstories, and have investigated the factual background and personalities frequently ignored in the casebooks of well-known cases. While stories can be informative to create a position that science is a way of knowing for white Western people, especially men, and storytelling is one more suited to racial minorities, critical race theory is itself racist. They're against racial minorities and cripple the people they claim to help. Critical race theory is completely against the common sense idea that race becomes less socially relevant and racism is therefore diminished by not focusing on race all of the time. Where liberalism spent centuries removing social significance from racial categories, once it had been introduced in the 16th century, critical race theory inserts it again, front and center. In fact, as you might have guessed, it sees the colorblindness as one of the most racist things possible because it hides the real racism from view. While there is a point here that being too colorblind can cause someone not to see racism at all, even when it's a real problem, and especially when its influence is subtle. The remedy critical race theory gives to this imperfection in the colorblind approach is to do exactly the opposite. Thus, racism has to be made relevant in every situation where racism is present, which is, for them, every situation. And it has attached incredible amounts of social significance to race and how it factors into every interaction. That means you have to find and focus upon the hidden racism in your workplace, your school, your society, your neighborhood, your books, your food, your music, your hobbies, your faith, your church, your community, your friends, your relationships, and yourself. This has the opposite of the intended effect, although it does cause people to see some legitimate racism that would otherwise be missed. It makes all of our relationships and social systems extremely fragile and tense, ready to explode over a highly divisive issue. It also diverts resources from doing real work or building real relationships, because looking for and thinking about racism all the time takes a lot of effort. Critical race theory says minority races already have to think about racism all the time, and only white people have the privilege not to do it. Before we discuss the case of how impossible disagreement is for white people and other racially privileged people, consider a few poignant examples. The black superstar musician Kanye West famously donned a Make America Great Again hat and said he thinks for himself. In response, the poet laureate of critical race theory, Ta-Nehisi Coates, wrote a widely read article suggesting that West is no longer really black. The black musician, Daryl Davis, who is most famous for talking hundreds of real white supremacists out of their Ku Klux Klan hoods, once tried to invite a conversation of this sort in 2019, and members of the nominally anti-fascist group Antifa called him a white supremacist for being ready to associate with people rather than fight or kill the people he invited to have a conversation. There is racially black on the one hand and politically black on the other. Critical race theory is only interested in the identity politics associated with being politically black. And anyone who disagrees with critical race theory, even if they are racially black, does not qualify. The common way to phrase this is that they are not really black. This means that in critical race theory, diversity, which it calls for often, must be only skin deep. Everyone's politics must agree and must agree with critical race theory. This is obviously much worse a problem for white people or others who are said to have racial privilege. There are more concepts in critical race theory to deal specifically with how and why white people are racists for disagreeing with critical race theory than perhaps any other idea. We've already seen how critical race theory cannot be disagreed with, even by black people. We have also seen how it rejects all alternatives and how it believes any success that it has comes down to interest convergence. Because it rejects science, it cannot be falsified or proven wrong by evidence. And because it assumes racism is present and relevant to all situations and interactions, even the acceptance of critical race theory must somehow also contain racism. Therefore, critical race theory cannot be satisfied. It is, in this way, like a black hole. No matter how much you give to it, it cannot be filled and only gets stronger, and it will tear apart if you get too close to it. This means that if your workplace takes up critical race theory, eventually activists will start to make demands and threaten to make trouble if they do not get their way. They usually do not ask. If you give in to them, you will not satisfy them, however, because critical race theory cannot be satisfied. It is guaranteed before you do anything at all that you will do it wrong because of your racism. You did it out of interest convergence to make yourself look good because of your racism. You did it in a way that just created new problems that amount to racism. You didn't do it sooner, faster, or better because of your racism. No matter what you do, the resulting situation must contain racism. And the critical race theory activist's job is to find it and hold you accountable. Therefore, giving in to a demand made by critical race theory cannot appease it. It can, however, signal that you will give in to their demands, which will then continue to come and to escalate. As we have seen in countless examples across the corporate world recently, this will include demands for you to step down from your job and give it to activists. And even that won't satisfy them. And if the venture fails as a result of all this disruption, racism was the cause of that failure too. This is a grim but fair description of critical race theory. And what's worse, it's woefully incomplete. There are other horrible ideas at the very core of critical race theory that fall in this same mold. These include the idea that racism barely gets better, if at all, that equality is a source of racism, that people who benefit from racism have no incentives to be against racism, that racism is a zero-sum conflict that was arranged by white people so that no one else can have a real chance in society, that the races cannot truly understand one another, while demanding that they must and that racism is the whole cause of the inevitable failure, that racially privileged people are inherently oppressors and everyone else is inherently oppressed. This is derived from Marxism applied to racial groups, and that the only way to end racism is through a social revolution that unmakes the current society entirely and replaces it with something engineered by critical race theory. It is easy to see what kind of problems these doctrines will create in practice, and it's horrible how critical race theory consistently preys upon the best parts of our natures to achieve its goals, which, if it were correct, and it's not, mostly leaves only the worst candidates to oppose it, real white supremacists, which they then use as evidence of their bogus claims. Therefore, there are many good reasons that have nothing to do with real racism to reject most of what critical race theory teaches. Good people have every reason to reject critical race theory for better alternatives, and the main reason they don't is because they don't know what it is and see what it offers. Kinds of sounds right in certain situations and sort of seems good in certain situations, but is evil. In summary, we can see that critical race theory is a truly horrible way to deal with race issues and racism, and that would be true even if every problem it points out were 100% true. It simply is not a good way to go about these problems, and as its advocates might say in realizing such a situation, we have an obligation to educate ourselves about the problems and weaknesses of critical race theory. This new orthodoxy has taken over our educational institutions with frightening speed. People who likely never heard the phrase critical race theory before this last summer are now getting emails from their children's schools about decentering whiteness at home. They are discovering that their children's elementary school teacher has read them a book about whiteness that teaches them how much color matters and encourages them to confront the painful truth about their own family, i.e., that they are being raised by racists. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. This is a dangerous and divisive ideology one that assigns moral value to people on the basis of their skin color. It is inconceivable that anyone could look back at human history and not see that singling out a particular racial or ethnic group as the cause of all of societal problems can quickly lead us to a very bad place. It is understandable, therefore, that the ascendancy of critical race theory in our educational institutions is deeply frightening to so many people. People feel like their children are being indoctrinated. In many cases, they're right. This ideology is not simply being presented as one way of looking at the world. It is taught as the truth with a capital T, and you will be cast into outer darkness or punished if you question it. We need to fight the rise of this toxic and destructive orthodoxy if we want America to be a place where, as Martin Luther King said, our children are judged by the content of their character and not by the color of their skin. But we also have to fight it in the right way, without compromising the very freedoms we want to preserve. Recently, a number of state legislatures have begun considering bills that would ban or severely restrict the teaching of critical race theory. Yet, preventing supporters of this ideology from making their case is not the answer. We know what it is like to have our right to free speech suppressed, because it's happening day in, day out to the critics of critical race theory and other left-wing ideologies at educational institutions around the country. I understand why it is so tempting to fight fire with fire, but that will not advance freedom and equality in the long run. Most people know that the First Amendment protects freedom of speech, but it also protects freedom of conscience. That is, the right to hold our personal thoughts and beliefs free from government intrusion. Critical race theory is something you should familiarize yourself with and fight it with every core of your being. Thank you for listening today. I'll be back again next week, God willing, same time, same station. And God bless America.